Matthew chapter 6, 9 to 13. Pray then like this: Our Father in heaven, hallowed be your name, your kingdom come, your will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Give us this day our daily bread, and forgive us our debts, as we also have forgiven our debtors. And lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. Pastor Greg, please come and share with us.
Thank you, Scott. Well, it's good to be here this morning. Quick little background. After church service next week, we'll have a little time to get to know each other a little better. But since 1992, I've been in the Free Church, in three different churches, all here kind of in the metro area. First Free in South Minneapolis, and then in Mound, Minnesota, and then in Watertown, Minnesota. And my wife and I have been here to Northfield over the years, but we've never been to your church. But it was kind of fun to have a few connections already. But I'm glad to be here with you on Father's Day. I started thinking about fathers and Father's Day, and how long has Father's Day been around? Well, it was first proposed over 100 years ago in 1910, when Senora Dodd Smart first proposed the idea. She wanted to honor her father. And they kind of had a little celebration. This was in Washington State. It took a little while to kind of go from state to state to be finally a national holiday. Finally, in 1966, President Lyndon Baines Johnson signed it into law. So that means today is the 53rd Father's Day that we've celebrated here. And personally, I'm glad that we live in a country where at least one day a year, we honor fathers. Last month was Mother's, right? Mother's Day. Today, Father's Day. There's over 1,000 verses in the Bible that talk about fathers. A third of those talk about God as Father. And the passage that Scott read was a pretty familiar passage. But I want us to think about the model Father. We're going to listen in as Jesus the Son prays to his Father. Now, yes, it was the context there in the Sermon on the Mount. This is part of that, Jesus' most famous and well-known sermon or whatever. The disciples were kind of thinking or asking about prayer, and he says, well, you pray like this. And it starts out as our Father. Now, sometimes when we think about fathers, maybe some of you, that's not always a positive image or idea, right? Maybe you had childhood memories that weren't so good. Or oftentimes fathers, the idea of fathers, even if you're a father yourself, can bring up mixed feelings or resentment or guilt or, I don't know, whatever, lots of different things. And I don't know where you're at this morning. You may have not had a good earthly father, but you know what? You can have a great relationship with a heavenly Father. So here's what I want us to do this morning. Jesus says, when you pray, pray our Father. He's inviting us to pray. Now, he could have said pray to a Father or the Father, but he says he's including himself, our Father. He wants us to have a relationship with God as a Father. Well, who is this God that's a Father? What kind of a Father is he? So here's what I want to do. I want to take a little different angle on the Lord's Prayer here, as we call it. Let's look at the Son, Jesus, praying. We sang about this, right? I believe in God the Father. I believe in Jesus the Son. Well, let's listen in as Jesus invites us to pray to the Father. What kind of a father is this? I've entitled it the Model Father. Let's model our relationship with God as God the Father. So if you're a father, you're a stepfather, you're a father-in-law, you're a grandfather, if you know a dad, if you have a dad, all of us, if you're married to a dad, or someday want to be a dad, this is for you this morning. So here's what I want to do, and my habit is to give an outline in the bulletin, and if taking notes or filling in blanks or whatever helps you, that's great. Some of you like to do that. Some of you just like to listen. It doesn't matter. But I want to give you six characteristics of a model father taken from this prayer here. First one is this. The model father has character. There's a fill in the blank. Now, not is a character, but has character. How do I get that? He talks about name. Now, name in the Bible is more than just, well, we got to call you something. Name means your character, who you are. What kind of a person are you? So oftentimes a great study in the Bible is the names of God or the names of Jesus. Why is that interesting? Because it gives us a glimpse of, well, who is this person that we're talking about? Now, hallowed, I don't know about you, but I don't really use that word very often in conversations. What is that? Hallowed. Maybe you heard about the family coming home from church, and the mom was quizzing the little boy, you know, well, what did you learn in Sunday school? Well, it was really good. We learned about God, and we even learned his first name. Really? He says, yeah, you know, our Father who art in heaven, Harold is your name. He goes, no, it's not Harold. It's hallowed. Hallow. Not hollow. One little letter difference. Hollow means empty. Nothing. Hallowed is kind of almost the opposite of that. Hallowed means holy, separate, special, unique. Jesus says, I'm treating God that way. Fathers are supposed to be like that. Now, unfortunately, in our culture, on TV and movies and stuff, fathers aren't always treated that great. They come off as sort of incompetent or bumbling, or, you know, they're an embarrassment to their children. They're a burden to their wife. They're sort of bums at work. They're sort of clueless, you know, and wow, that's a father? Well, no, that's not how we're supposed to be. We're supposed to have character. Now, dads, if you want your kids to respect you, then you're going to show that in your character. Now, what am I talking about? Well, it shows up like this, lots of different ways, every day. Kids see your character on how you treat their mother. Or how you talk about that crazy guy at work. Or how you help your neighbor. Or they catch on to how truthful you are. Tell the telemarketer I'm not home. And they see that. Your character just shines through. Well, Jesus says when he thinks about his father and his character, it's special. It's holy. Jesus always knew that the Father kept his word with Jesus. He never had to wonder, you know, can I trust God? Is my Father, you know, who is he? Or how is he? Or whatever. No. So we have one of the Ten Commandments. It's the fifth one. Honor your father and mother, right? Jesus repeats that command five times. It's five different times in the gospel. And then in John 8, he says this, I honor my father. That's what Jesus did. So I hope you do that today. Whether you have to call your father or you pray for him, or even if your father is no longer alive, you can still honor him by the way you think about him, by the way you talk about him. The reason my wife Debbie is not here today is because she's with her father in Syracuse, New York, where they live. And so they paid for a ticket for her to be there for Father's Day, and then Tuesday is their 60th wedding anniversary, and they're having a big celebration. So that's why she's not here today. She'll be here next week. Anyway, the model father, he has character. Let's keep going. The model father directs. Prayer is, your kingdom come, your will be done, here on earth as it is in heaven. Jesus knew that the Father had a plan for his life. It was never questioned or hidden or resisted. Toward the end of Jesus' life in John 17, he says this, I brought you glory on earth by completing the work you gave me. And even in the darkest moments of his life, before he's going to the cross, he's praying in Gethsemane. He says, my Father. And he's wrestling with this. And he says, well, it's not my will, but yours be done. I don't know about you, but sometimes that can be a challenge. And I have to ask myself, well, whose will do I want? God's? Or my own? Am I involved in building my own kingdom or God's kingdom? God, you're directing me to do this or this or this. Am I going to follow that? Now, dads, your kids need you to direct them. Now, not bully them or enslave them or neglect them, but direct them. I think about my father. I was with him last weekend, 88 years old, love my dad, believer, and I was thinking about this. Well, what did I learn from my dad? How did he direct me? Yeah, some things were pretty specific and, hey, we're going to learn about this. Like my dad taught me, all of us kids, but he taught us how to drive a car. Okay, driving lessons with dad. Okay, here we go. He taught me how to fish. He taught me about, a whole bunch of things. My dad was an engineer for General Electric, and one of his favorite little things was, well, you got to plan it out on paper. You know, he was a paper and pencil, you know, kind of guy. And I picked up on that. I also learned about being involved and serving the Lord and giving your time and your talents and your treasures to God's kingdom. I saw him in action. I saw, I guess that's where I learned how to be a father myself. I'm the oldest of six kids, and I saw my father and my mom help raise us and not pit us against each other, but direct us individually. I saw how to be a father. I saw how to be a husband, how he treats his mom, my mom. My dad guided me in a lot of different things, and I'm really grateful. When God says it's important in a family, he also says it's a nuclear family. He also says it's important in a church family. Here's what he says about elders. 1 Timothy 3, an elder must manage his own family well, and see that his children obey him with proper respect. And then it makes the case, if anyone does not know how to manage his own family, how can he take care of God's church? Well, the model father, he has character, and he guides. Keep going. He also provides daily bread. I started thinking about this. Jesus knew his father would take care of him. Now, you may think your daily bread comes from the grocery store. None of us have ever had any food, a bite of food, that didn't come from God, ultimately. See, it's a difference between the source, God, and the resource, The grocery store doesn't make your food. It just gathers it and sells it to you. But they don't produce it. And so it makes sense to ask the Father to provide for you. And it's interesting, it says daily, not weekly or monthly. You know, sometimes I wish that God would just sort of give me everything I need for like 5 years. Just like put it in a giant account. So I know it's there, I can see it, I don't have to worry. And I'm like, yep, it's just right there, everything. But God doesn't do it that way, does he? He says you need to pray for it daily. Why does God do that? Because he wants us to have a daily relationship with him, a daily walk, a daily conversation. Well, praying that way for daily is more than just daily food, things to eat. I think it's anything and everything that we need each day. Our health, our finances, our schedule, our future. Now, most dads, I think, get that. We work and we provide for our family. What can be the challenge is we just think the only thing that we're providing are sort of those physical needs. But dads provide for a lot more, don't they? Things that money can't even buy. They provide things like love and security and acceptance and identity. In fact, if there's not a dad there to provide, and it's not dad only, so moms don't feel like don't know there's mothers out there. But studies show that if you take dad sort of out of the equation, things fall apart. According to the U.S. Census Bureau, almost 20 million, 19.7 million children, that's more than one in four, live without a father in the home. Now, of course, they have a father, but he's just not there. It goes on to say, consequently, there's a father factor in nearly all the social ills facing America today. Research shows that when a father is absent, it can't help but affect the family. Let me give you a couple examples. The children are more likely to have behavioral problems, like in school. Four times a greater risk of poverty. Seven times more likely to become pregnant as a teenager. They're more likely to go to prison, more likely to abuse drugs and alcohol, two times more likely to drop out of high school, and the list goes on and on. Kids need a father to provide all sorts of different things for them. The model father, he has character, he directs, he provides. Let's go to the fourth one. He forgives. Wow, forgiveness. Remember when Peter asked Jesus, well, how many times should I forgive my brother? Seven times? And Peter thought it was kind of being gracious. Jesus says, oh, no. Seven times 70. Oh, wow, that's a lot of time to forgive. I'm not going to be able to keep track of that. Well, that was the point. You don't keep track. It's unconditional. Jesus modeled this, didn't he? When he's dying on the cross for you and me, he prays. A couple times he does. One of those times he says, Father, forgive them, for they don't know what they're doing. Wow, I don't know about you, but if I'm looking down at the people who beat me and put me on a cross and are cheering me on to die, I don't know if I had to ask for forgiveness. That'd be a tough one. But that was Jesus. We all need to learn about forgiveness, don't we? And it can be hard. dads, your children, and when I'm saying children, some of you have little children, some of you have teenagers, some of you have adult children like my wife and I. You know, I hear even people older than me, and they'll say, well, our kids are coming over. I'm like, wow, how old are your kids? Oh, they're 55 and 60, you know, they're not kids. Well, you kind of always think of them as kids, you know, or call them kids. But so no matter what, fathers can teach their kids about forgiveness. And they'll catch on. They'll see how you as a father, do you hold on to a grudge or do you let that go? Our kids are going to be hurt by other people because it's a sinful world. And the reality is, no matter how perfect our kids are, they're probably going to hurt somebody else too along the way. And there needs to be forgiveness. And we need to teach our kids how to do that. And how to, I remember when we were teaching our kids little, and I know this isn't your kids, but sometimes our kids, you know, we say, now make up with your brother or sister, say you're sorry. Sorry. You know, well, we kind of want to go beyond that, where they just sort of don't mean it and, you know, I'm not getting in trouble or whatever. No, we want them to be able to really forgive that person and not to hold on to bitterness that's going to eat away at them. Truth is, we dads need forgiveness ourselves, don't we? Sometimes we dads, we mess up. We don't say the right thing. We don't do the right thing. We get angry or impatient. We lose our temper. We do whatever. And we need forgiveness. And we have to say, I'm sorry. Admit I'm wrong. Go make restitution. Sometimes the forgiveness that we need is from our kids. Ugh. Dads, have you ever had to ask for forgiveness from your children? I remember it certainly wasn't the last time, but I remember apologizing to our one son, probably all the kids, but one son in particular. He was just a little guy. He's just getting started in school. I don't know, he was 5 or 6. And I said, oh, Josh, Dad needs to ask for your forgiveness. I kind of lost my cool there, and I said some angry words. You know, will you forgive me? Oh, Dad, of course I'll forgive you. And then he looks at me, and he goes, it's okay, Dad. We all have things we're working on. Like, what? What does a five-year-old, what is he working on? I don't know. But I'm like, boy, isn't that the truth? You know, I've got things I got to work on. And I needed his forgiveness. And thankfully, you know, he was very gracious with that. But yeah, that kind of sticks with me. And I'm like, wow, just even at a young age, he realized, well, we need to offer forgiveness. A good father does that. Lead us not into temptation. A model father also leads. Now, Jesus knew his father would direct him, we've already seen that, and lead him in the right way. In Matthew 4, the devil tempts Jesus 3 times. And in all 3 times, Jesus answers pretty much the same way. He quotes a Bible verse, and he says, this is what God says. This is how God leads. I'm paraphrasing. And I'm going to follow God, my father. And he knew that he was in good hands to do that. Now, leading our kids not into temptation, I don't know that, I don't always think of it that way. I would not want to do that purposefully. Come on, kids, let's be tempted, you know. We don't do that. But the reality is, they need to learn how to handle temptation, don't they? And whatever standard I'm going to set, wherever I'm going to draw the line, no, we don't do this. They're going to have to adopt their own, but they're certainly going to be able to at least learn. Okay. And the fact is, the temptations that you and I had and do have and will have, those are the same kind of temptations that they're going to have. So we got to help them, right? So, dads, do your kids know about cheating? Do they know about addictive behaviors like pornography or abuse with alcohol and drugs? Do they know your standard on sexual matters? Because you've talked about it. They need that, don't they? The model father helps do that. And finally, the model father protects. Deliver us from evil. Truth is, we need our Heavenly Father to do that, right? To guard us and deliver us and protect us every day. Here are the dying words of Jesus. The final words Jesus said here on earth. Well, sorry, before the cross. He did come back again, and he had more to say. But as he's dying, he said this: Father, into your hands I commit my spirit. And then he died. Even walking through the valley of the shadow of death, and Jesus was going to die moments later, he entrusts his eternal soul to the protection of his Father. Now, I started thinking about this. Reality is, protecting our children is a challenge. The world is a bit more dangerous place than it was for my kids than it was for me. And it's even more challenging, or has some other challenges at least, for my grandkids. We have two young granddaughters, 1 and 3. And the world they're growing up in, it can be even more challenging. And I think, well, how in the world are we supposed to do this? Protect our kids? You can't protect them or control everything. You're not even there all the time. And even if you were, you can't always control stuff. But God the Father, He can. So what do? Well, here's a simple thing. You already know it. You pray. You ask God to protect them as they go off to school, as they go off to college, or the military, as they get married, as they're having kids of their own. You pray. God, protect them. Our youngest son and his wife serve with Campus Crusade for Christ, now called Crew. They serve in Beijing, China. And China is not the safest place in the world, especially for Christians and missionaries. And we can't be there to watch over them. We live 13 time zones away. So we pray, God, watch over Josh and Kayla. Protect them. A little closer to home, our daughter, she lives in Glencoe with her husband, and he's a Minnesota State Trooper. And every day we pray for him. Lord, keep Ben safe on the highways and byways of Minnesota. You just never know what's going to happen. We pray. Yes, we can do things ourselves to protect our kids, but God, we need you to protect them. Well, what have we said? What have we learned from Jesus about this prayer as he invites us to pray to our Father? Well, I'll tell you what kind of father he is, the model father. It's one who has character. And he guides, and he provides, and he forgives, and he leads, and he protects. Oh, he does lots more, of course. And I'm not sure where you're at this morning. And sometimes, like Mother's Day or Father's Day, we can come to church and hear a message, and it's true, but we go away discouraged, like, oh, I can't live up to that, or I'm doing so poorly, or whatever. Well, I took a risk. I didn't want that to happen today. I hope that you were encouraged and instructed. So let me just close with a couple of quick applications, and then I'm going to call the worship team up to do a final song, and then at the end, after that, I'm going to pray for all our fathers. But here's the place to start. Whether you're male or female, it doesn't matter. We all need to have a good, loving, intimate relationship with the Heavenly Father. That's where we need to start. But if you are a father, just maybe take something from this morning. Take a step. Do one thing to work on. And don't give up. Keep going. I'm a father to our three adult kids. I'm a father-in-law to two. Two of them are married. I'm a grandfather, and I'm in process still with all of those. I'm learning and hopefully improving, like my son said. Dad, we're all working on things. Well, I'm still working on things. And then finally, improve your relationship with your own father. Maybe he's not even around physically, or maybe he's already passed away. You can still honor him. You can still draw close. Honor your father today. Well, can the worship team come forward? We're going to sing, and then, like I said, I want to pray for fathers.